hear this, these two verses from John 1, 14 and 16. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. This is the Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I read from Matthew in the beginning as you followed along, which maps out the traditional Christmas story that is read throughout Advent and around Christmas time, the story of a child being born to Mary and Joseph, and how this child was born in a stable in Bethlehem. And I love to couple that with a reading from John's Gospel, which we just read from and from which I preached last week. It's a bit like Matthew and Luke give the what of the story, like what happened. And John gives this cosmic, huge story of what's happening behind the scenes. In the birth of Christ, what else is taking place? And so I read these two verses this week, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we've seen His glory. And 16, from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. I sat with Aubin one of these nights this past week. And before your baby arrives, you've maybe hopefully kind of prepped the house, and maybe there's a special room. At least there's some new furniture that's set aside. One of you hopefully has maybe read a few books. You have a couple of friends that you've said, so well, what is it like? What are these first few days like? And what should I expect? And so you know a baby is coming home, and you intellectually can conceive of it, and you're planning, okay, we're going to do this, and this is what it'll be like. And then, in the room at the hospital, a baby is there and cries for the first time. And you didn't have anything that could have prepared you for what happens in your heart at that moment. Amen? And I remember just thinking, I love my parents. I love my wife. But I've never felt a love like that. And even now, you're like, oh, I mean, you're cute and all, but all you do is eat, sleep, poop, and spit up, and, you know, blow snot everywhere. I mean, you offer, as far as, like, marketability and, like, adding value to the household, there's no extra income, only outgo, right? She can't mow the lawn yet. There's not anything tangible that she's bringing to the table. But you are overwhelmed with a gift. Yes. Don't mess up my illustration now, Ted. All right. We already had one impromptu thing. That's all I can do. Yes. But there is something new that is there. And in this verse, verse 16, it says, let me make sure I get it exactly right from the New Revised. From His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. We have all received grace upon grace. And there were plenty of points along my Christian journey where intellectually I knew what people were saying. I could tell the story of the birth of Christ. I could recite it and add some embellishment, and I could do all those things. But something had not yet happened in my heart, which is when the gospel cracks your heart wide open and something new is born there in its place. And so verse 16 implies a question for us. Have we received this gift of grace upon grace? Not intellectually, not on paper, or not in a way you can really even put words to, but some kind of new experience has taken place in you. And you have realized that the birth of Christ was for you personally. But let me back up and ask, what is grace upon grace? And in verse 14, there's this famous line, and the Word became flesh, which literally means the Word took on meat. It's like chili con carne, right? Anybody, what's that? Chili with meat. And the Latin or the Greek really is, there's this kind of implication that the Word, God's spoken Word, took on real, tangible flesh, meat, bone, blood, muscle, and dwelled among us. And dwelled among us, other translations may say, and tabernacled among us. I think the Message translation says, and God moved into the neighborhood. Does it say like, and set up tent or something like that? Think about this. Picture the stars in the heavens at night, on a clear night, and you are aware of how infinitely small you are. And if God created all of that with a word, that this God that is bigger than you and I could ever possibly fathom, it would crack our mind wide open. This God became a little tiny baby. A little tiny baby. God, the fullness of God, dwelled in this child named Jesus. And so this grace upon grace, this charon anti charistos is the Greek there. And this charistos is the second grace that comes from verse 14 where it says, and this word that became flesh was full of truth, was full of grace, charistos, and truth. So in verse 16, you're going, all right, whatever. What are you talking about, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. The second grace, this is grace upon charistos, which is like grace upon this God who took on flesh. So you have grace in this one installment. The Word becoming flesh, grace. Who's seen Indiana Jones, the original one, the Raiders of, is it the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? And there in the very end, and I bring this up because sometimes we make the presence of God very cozy and cuddly, and I'm like, oh, little lamb, cuddle up. You know, it's this, the presence of God, very tame. And I love in the last scene, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and they crack open the ark, and what happens? Angels of the Lord come out and melt people's faces. Sorry, children. Yeah. It's like the late 1980s effects, you know, and slow motion clay stuff. But that's like a fraction of the presence of God. When Moses says, show me your glory, God says, nah, it'll kill you. My glory will liquefy you. My glory will just blow your face off, literally. And he says, look, I'll finally do that, but I'm going to have to put you in the cleft of a rock, and you're only going to get to see my backside. God's presence is so holy, we couldn't even stand in it. But this charistos, this grace, is God's presence becoming a small child among us. And as Christ becomes older and bigger in stature, what I'll talk about next week, one of my favorite themes to preach on, and I've titled the sermon, The One and Only. The One and Only. On the 29th, do anything you can to not miss that sermon. But this grace is God walking among us. And if we ask the question, as we're looking out at this starry night, and we say, someone created all this, this God, what is God like? And the answer to the question, what is God like, is look at Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look at what the Son is like, because the glory of the Father is in the glory of the Son. And we know God, this infinite God, this huge God, this God that will melt our faces off in His presence. We know what God is like by His Son. Christos, this grace upon grace. So what's the first grace? If that's the grace, what's the grace upon that grace? I'm glad you asked. Anybody translate tongues? Maybe that's what that was. This grace of the Word becoming flesh, there is a grace upon that grace. And to me it is this. If the second grace is Jesus, the first grace is salvation in Jesus. Salvation in Christ. If we ask the question, what is God like? And respond, look at Jesus. Let me ask you then, what was Jesus like? What was Jesus like? And for a guy like me, listen, some of you guys, if you told your testimony, I'll go, that is awesome, you know, and you're like my wife. You're like my wife. You're a rule follower, and you were just born that way. And I remember one of our earlier dates, and I was popping popcorn, and she's going, what are you doing? I said, you think I'm going to pay $12 for popcorn? And she was like, we can't do that. It's against the rules. I was like, rules? That should be illegal to sell popcorn at that price. Those are the bad guys. Don't put that on me. Those are the bad guys, you know? And I'm like, putting 20 ounces in my pockets. I'm like, going in, clanking, right? Peanuts, popcorn, candied apples. And, you know, God is still working on me with that. I'm 14 years in. God is still working on me. God's still where I'm not perfect yet. Maybe my New Year's resolution will be buy popcorn at movie theater. My wife is like that. I am totally the opposite. I know nothing about rule abiding. Very little about... After years and years of God working on me, after He grabbed a hold of my life, after wrapping me around a telephone pole when I was 18 years old in a vehicle. And God's been working on me and working on me. And by God's grace, I have shreds of integrity. Just shreds. By God's grace. And so when we ask the question, what was Jesus like? Here is the answer. Jesus, who said, come to me, all you who are weary. Why? Because I will give you rest. All of you who are thirsty, come. I'm the living water. I came not for those who are doing well, but for the sick. I didn't come with the ruler to smack you on the back of your knuckles when you mess up. I came to heal. You see, so as I'm reading the story, I'm going, oh my gosh, like, do you mean then that if me on my worst days, even in my past days, that if Jesus walked onto the scene, this Word became flesh, this grace in meat walked up to me, that even on my worst days, Jesus would go, Justin, follow me. Wow. So if it includes folks like that, surely it includes the folks like my wife who actually buy popcorn at the movie theater. You think you're better than me, Kathleen? Was that it? Think you're better than me? Grace upon grace. I think about a lot of times during this season, the folks who will come into churches and sit through a service, and I'm so glad they're there. And I want to tell them enough of what the story, not just what happened in the story, but what it means for them. So maybe they'll come back more than twice a year. I'm glad they're here twice a year or halftime a year. That's fine. But when we think about this story of grace upon grace, it is God's heart for the world who came not to judge but to save. And this grace upon grace is none other than the fact that Jesus came and Jesus saves. And for folks that are down and out who at the end of the day when no one else is around to impress and you get those, it's like that committee in your head begins picking at you, criticizing you. And you don't know how to turn it off. Anybody. Right? I have plenty of voices in my head for all of us. That it's like I could never be good enough. Or for those of you who would say, well, I'm a perfectionist, and you still kind of wear it like a virtue. And so it's like a gerbil on a wheel, like you're going round and round, exerting all kinds of energy, but never actually getting there, never actually arriving. There is grace for you. There's grace. For those of you who have great lives and you come into church and you're glad to be here and you see folks that you meet during this time of the year, just hear the Christmas story again, that it is the birth of the Christ child. The Word took on meat, dwelled among us, and in it is grace upon grace for you. A kind of grace that will crack your heart open in a new way. And there is a God that has revealed Himself to us, not as a scorekeeper, not as the one who stood up on the hill saying, "This is how you get to me." It is the story of God who came to you. I'll talk more about this next week, but Christianity is totally unique regarding any other religion. Absolutely different. Please don't buy the lie that world religions are pretty much the same. Just mark it down like, well, that person's never actually studied world religions. Christianity is totally unique, absolutely different than anything else. And in this story of grace upon grace, here's what I recall in this story. Here I am, June 28th, 1999. And let me talk about how this grabbed a hold of my heart is. Like I had said, I just wrapped a car around a telephone pole. I was on probation for a charge already, which means you're not supposed to get in trouble. It's like trouble on top of trouble. Bad idea. Like the reverse of grace upon grace. My life had been gradually down the tubes. And so at this point, I'm looking at 6 months in jail in Davidson County. And as I've said before, I never really thought of myself as a 6 months in jail kind of guy. I mean, I know I'm like very intimidating. I was terrified. But I knew that whatever happened when I got out and I started again, I didn't have the wherewithal to change my own life, and I wanted anything different, something different. God, do something. If you're up there, I'll do whatever it takes. And here I am, a guy Listen, your preacher is a guy who, before God made him a new person, he would steal from you. He would do whatever it took to get whatever he needed. He hurt friends. He hurt his family. He was in physical altercations where people were harmed. Sometimes me. He was arrested, beaten, estranged, left, just out in the... I mean, I pushed everyone away from me all throughout my life, and I didn't have any merit badges left by June 27th, 1999. Nothing good about me where I could go, see, look, I'm a pretty good guy. Like, there was nothing there. I was a wretch. I said, God, if you're up there... Really, it was like this. Maybe this is why I like my knees. God, if you're up there, I hope that you are. Because if you're not, I'm up a creek and there ain't no paddle. Do you know what grace upon grace is? It is not the response. Yes, Justin, here I am. I'm emailing you a list of to-dos. And once you clean yourself up and dust yourself off, once you get everything all together, and once you stop doing all that stuff, then we can talk about a relationship. It was none of that. It was, I'm here, and my grace is so amazing. It is for a wretch just like you. There was no 3-day waiting period. There was no layaway plan. It was a story of a God who didn't say, here I am, work your way up here. Story of a God in the jail cell in Davidson County that met me there. I had nothing to offer. Grace. Upon grace. As Julie and the team are coming forward to begin getting ready for our last song, let me just ask you this. This season, this Christmas season, where are you in the hamster wheel? You're just running. Maybe if I run a little bit faster and you're exhausted and you realize you're getting nowhere and you just need to hear this. Look, in Christ, God has grace for you. Those of you who have many of folks around you fooled because everything looks good on the outside and you're exhausted from putting forth that front, just hear grace. For those of you who got talked into coming here this morning so that person would stop pestering you and you're here and you're going, finally, okay, I'm going to come. This season here, there's grace upon grace for you. And those of you who have been Christians your entire lives, but have points along the journey. Somebody back me up on this. You have points along the journey, and God's done so many different things, but then you come to this spot, and you're going, what's going on? I thought I dealt with this last season. Why do I feel... my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. I feel like I'm in a desert place. Grace for you. This season. God loves you. God has grace for you. And upon that grace, there is grace. And upon that grace, there is grace. There's grace. there's grace. Amazing grace. Amen and amen.